Wrigglesworth Hang-Ups by Tom Wrigglesworth and James Kettle, a Christmas Notch special.
Hello, Sheffield 61977.
Richard, you don't answer like that when you're on Skype.
Oh, sorry. hello, Richard Wrigglesworth 1 at hotmail.com. Can you see him?
Hello?
I can just make out a sort of blur.
That'll be him. Hold on, it's coming into focus. Oh, dear. Even after all these years, it's hard to get used to that sight. Like a normal human being in a hall of mirrors.
Hello, Thomas. It's your granny. Can you see us?
No, I can't. I think your webcam's fallen down the back of the computer cabinet. All I can see are some cables and a packet of statins.
What's he doing there? He's moving his mouth, but nothing's coming out. Stop mucking about, Tom, and speak up.
You haven't turned your speakers on. Turn the speakers on.
He's making a lot of gestures, Rich.
Very frenzied.
Reminds me of when he was 7, when we left him locked in the car at the shopping centre. Right in the middle of that unexpected heat wave.
Hold on. I don't think I've turned the speakers on. Oh, that's much better. Can you hear us, Tom?
I've always been able to hear you.
Well, why didn't you tell us before? Honestly, Tom. The way you muck us around, it's no wonder I've got elevated blood pressure and I can't find my statins.
I think I might know where they are.
How far away are you, Thomas?
About an hour.
Tom, it's 2:30. Christmas dinner is on the table in 10 minutes. We have to be finished in time for the Queen. You know your father can't listen to that woman speak on an empty stomach. Are you really going to be an hour?
I didn't say I was going to be an hour. I said I'm an hour away. There's a bit of a problem with the car. You know how the petrol light comes on, even though there's plenty of petrol still left in the tank?
Of course.
And you think, oh, there's no need to fill up just yet. I mean, it's just the petrol light.
Absolutely.
Well, I've run out of petrol.
Hello?
Hello? Mum?
It's no use, Richard. He's completely frozen.
That might not be the technology. That might be him. He's never been much of a mover.
Hello? I can still hear you.
He's not blinked in a while.
That's never a good sign. In my experience, when people go like that, they're either dead or very angry.
The best thing to do is keep talking to him, Catherine. They say the hearing is always the last thing to go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is not the normal kind of conversation I have with my parents. Usually, I'm calling from my flat in London, the city that never sleeps. Whereas they are 160 miles away in Sheffield, the city that's planning to emerge from a prolonged afternoon nap any decade now. But at Christmas, things are different. I drive up every year on Christmas morning to spend the day with them. I used to go up a couple of days earlier, but I found that that was incompatible with my narrow window of family tolerance. If I come up on the 22nd, it's not so much a season of goodwill as a season of mutual hostility and a gleeful reopening of old wounds. Basically, in order for us all to remain on speaking terms by Boxing Day, I can't arrive until the sprouts have just come to the boil. And with my parents' attitude to cooking vegetables, that means dinner is a mere 4 hours away. This year, I was coming up on my own. For some reason, the wife wasn't keen on experiencing another Christmas with the Wrigglesworths. Perhaps because when you've seen one, it feels like you've endured them all.
I bet you left everything till the last minute. I did all my Christmas shopping in June, even the veg. There's always a couple of last-minute things, but that's what the August bank holiday's there for.
Yeah, great.
So, Thomas, are you just sitting there in your car waiting for the AA?
Yes, Granny.
Well, I think you should stay on the Skype. That way you can share Christmas with us the same way you would if you were here.
Yes, that sounds like a wonderful idea, son. I can't think of how many times I've been talking to you and wished I could turn you off at the wall. Now I can.
Whereabouts are you, Tom?
Near Northampton. I can't see much, just roads and a field. And a wind farm.
Oh, wind farms. I expect it's an absolute eyesore, as usual.
I quite like wind farms, Dad. They're a symbol that we're building a future not dependent on fossil fuels.
I don't think you're exactly in a position to lecture us about depending on fossil fuels, Tom.
Who's that ring the doorbell on Christmas Day?
Carol Singer's brilliant. What a wonderful opportunity to try out the new jet washer.
Maybe it's Noel Edmonds.
Noel Edmonds?
Well, you know what he gets up to at Christmas? Going round, handing out presents to people.
If it's Noel Edmonds, you can forget the jet washer. Tell him to come back in 10 minutes. I'll be ready at an upstairs window with a pan of hot fat.
I'll go and see. Richard, if you want to take your aggression out on something, I've got a saucepan full of swede that isn't going to mash itself.
I wish I could find my statins.
How are you enjoying Christmas, Granny?
Very nice, Thomas. We haven't opened the presents yet, but I bet I know what they've got me. Your dad will have got me a lovely scarf, and your mum will have got me a lovely scarf. To be honest, I'd prefer it if they'd just turned the heating up.
Must have been very different in your day, Granny.
Oh, I'll say so, Thomas. We had wonderful Christmases during the war. We'd fight all year, but come December the 25th, we'd all have a Christmas truce.
What, with the Germans?
No, not with the Germans, Thomas. With your granddad's family.
Mum, Tom, I'd like you to meet...
Russell. I've come from...
Russell! Hello, Russell.
I hope you don't mind me intruding. I was just passing, saw the lights, and I thought I'd look in. Because, you know, it's... Christmas.
It certainly is.
Not a time people should be on their own, but that's the way the world is sometimes.
It's so sad.
It can mean so much at Christmas, just a little warmth and human contact.
You don't need to say another word, Russell. If it's sympathy you've come for...
Well, they say it's a big killer during the festive period, loneliness.
Bloody hell. He's the life and soul of the party.
You've got a man in a box.
This is my son, Tom.
Oh, isn't technology wonderful? Even when your loved ones are far away across the seas, you can still share Christmas with them. Well done you, Tom. Making the effort. Whereabouts are you?
Northampton.
Oh, I see. I'm very sorry to hear that.
I'd better check the kitchen. Your father's been left unsupervised for a good 7 minutes and it's all gone ominously quiet.
So, Russell, the fact that you're throwing yourself on the generosity of my parents suggests you are very much at your lowest ebb. In fact, I'd say that if you need an indication that you've hit rock bottom, this is it.
Oh, I wouldn't say this is rock bottom. I find this sort of voluntary work gives me an enormous sense of personal fulfilment.
What sort of voluntary work do you do, Russell?
Reaching out at Christmas. That's what I'm here for. It's an initiative backed by the council. We have a list of the most vulnerable elderly members of our society. Suggested by friends and neighbours, and people like me are coming round to spread a little bit of festive cheer.
Listen, young man. I may look elderly and vulnerable to you, but when I get my teeth in, I'm still a handful.
Please try not to overexert yourself. Anyway, I don't think it's you that's on my list. I've come to check up on a Richard Wrigglesworth.
Oh, brilliant. What's he doing on the list?
Well, it's amazing how many of his friends and neighbours have suggested him. To be honest, he's top to the poll.
Amazing.
Right, I don't know who you are, but you haven't been invited and I want you off my property right now.
Mr. Wrigglesworth, please put down that masher. You're dropping swede all over the carpet.
Richard, you've got the wrong idea.
Dad!
I don't know what you've been telling my wife, but I'm not in the business of taking in waifs and strays off the street. I'm a retired accountant, not good King Wenceslas. If you're here to steal our family silver, you've got another thing coming, because it's a right load of rubbish. And besides, my son is watching your every move.
No, I'm not. I told you. The webcam's fallen down the back of the cabinet. I might hear a burglary, but what use is that? Listen, oh, Dad...
I'm sure I can help you out with that webcam, Mr. Wrigglesworth. If I just follow that wire back to... Ah, here we are. Oh, are these your statins?
Oh, yeah, yes, they are. Thank you very much. What did you say your name was?
It's Russell.
Good to get my hands on these again. Even the sight of them's enough to get my arteries dilating. Done me a favour there, Russell.
That's all any of us can do. Look out for each other.
I suppose so.
I'm ready to serve. Oh, what are you going to do with Tom's plate?
Oh, give it here. I'll waft it under the screen. See this, Tom? This is what you miss when you run out of petrol. Look at all those delicious roasted root vegetables.
Thanks, Dad.
Russell, as we've got a plate going spare, why don't you sit down and join us for Christmas dinner?
You what?
Mum?
Oh, that's very kind of you. Are you sure I'm not imposing?
Of course you're not imposing. Richard, is he imposing?
Well, it is Christmas. Embracing your fellow man and so forth. Just don't expect to get first go on the gravy boat.
So, ladies and gentlemen, there was I, stuck on the hard shoulder, watching the traffic as it sped past, and no one stopping to help me. They were all clearly feeling that it was more important to speed onwards to their own Christmas celebrations rather than stop to help a frizzy-haired madman in need. All I could do was sit there, staring at the screen as a delicious array of festive produce was laid on the Wrigglesworth family table. Turkey, pigs in blankets, Brussels, stuffing, and something that I think is unique to the Wrigglesworth family, potatoes served four ways. Roasted, mashed, poorly roasted, and barely mashed. The only thing that was different about the meal was that I wasn't there. Instead, there was a strange bloke eating with my mum and dad, with both sides thinking they were doing each other a favour.
These potatoes really are very interesting.
Made them myself.
I see. That makes sense. Have you considered meals on wheels?
Russell, flattery will get you everywhere, but I don't think I'm ready to cook for the whole neighbourhood.
Dad, I don't think that's what he means.
Tom, I didn't go to all the trouble of wheeling the computer in here just to have you grumbling from inside the screen like Claudia Winkleman. I don't know what's wrong with that woman. Cheer up, Claudia. You've got dancing to watch.
Richard, you should listen to Tom.
I've tried that in the past and it's brought me nothing but hardship. Once bitten, twice shy.
I think it's lovely that Tom can still have dinner with us. Have you got anything to eat there, Tom?
Doritos. I've got half a packet of Werther's in the glove box, but I'm saving them for pudding.
Anyone want to pull a cracker?
I think I already pulled one 40 years ago.
Oh, Richard! I knew that second cup of eggnog was a mistake.
I'm up for a cracker. Do you want to pull one with me, Mr. Wrigglesworth?
Fair enough, but as you're not family, I get to keep the contents. Right. Brace yourself, everyone. I don't want anyone getting startled when this little beauty goes off. Here we go. One, two, three. Well, that was a bit of a disappointment.
Don't be upset, Mr. Wrigglesworth. Here, put your party hat on.
What else did you get?
A right load of rubbish, a plastic donkey. And to think I had my heart set on a packet of tiny screwdrivers.
Is there a joke?
Oh, yes, it's fallen out over here. Shall I read it?
Give it here. You'll never be able to do it justice. You need timing for this sort of thing. Right, here we go. What is the difference between the kingdom of God and a single grain of mustard?
I've not heard this one.
I don't know. What is the difference between the kingdom of God and a single grain of mustard?
The kingdom of God is like a seed which appears smaller than all the other seeds. But it will grow to be greater than the other seeds and put forth mighty branches. Sounds like one of yours, Tom.
I don't get it.
Honestly, no, Pop. Plastic donkey and a rubbish punchline. What kind of crackers are these?
Let me see the box. Ah, well, there you go. These are biblical Christmas crackers. It says here they allow you to enjoy all the fun of the festive period while still commemorating the birth and ultimate sacrifice of our Lord.
Well, that's put a downer on the whole procedure. Fancy bringing him into it. And how come these biblical crackers don't go pop?
Well, they're Christian, Dad. They probably don't believe in the Big Bang.
Even at a distance of many miles, Tom, your smart-ass comments are still unbearable. Oh, well, more potatoes, Russell.
I physically shouldn't and emotionally couldn't.
I know exactly what you mean.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you might think that experiencing Christmas dinner via Skype in a lay-by in Northampton is pretty much the definition of bleak. But so far, it had been one of the most enjoyable festive get-togethers me and my family had ever had. Usually, it's impossible for me to be around my mum and dad without regressing at a terrifying rate of knots back to the teenage version of myself. I can be in London sorting out a life insurance policy or experimenting with Moroccan cookery, but put me in my parents' front room and I'll start spraying on the Lynx Africa and arguing about what is an appropriate time to go to bed.
Well, thank you very much for Christmas dinner. I won't be forgetting it in a hurry. But I probably should be off now.
Russell, have you got anywhere else to go?
No, that's me done for the day.
Oh, Richard, did you hear that? He's got nowhere else to go.
Stay where you are, Russell. We'll be having Christmas pudding in a bit. There won't be a shilling in it, partly because they're a choke hazard, but also they're anachronistic in the age of metric.
No, I really should be going.
No, Russell. There's a reason you turned up on our doorstep today.
There is?
I have a feeling you were sent to us.
Well, yes, I was.
Let's open the Christmas presents.
Dad, will you listen to him?
Yes, Richard. He's trying to tell you something.
That's got us in the mood. Mabel, he's yours from me.
Oh, how lovely. I wonder what it's going to be. It feels woolen. Oh, a scarf.
Richard, I told you I was getting at that.
And this is for you, Catherine.
Humps and Bumps, a light-hearted history of traffic calming measures. Well, Richard, you've clearly put a lot of thought into this.
You should plug any gaps in your knowledge.
Is traffic something that bothers you, Mr. Wrigglesworth?
Settle in, mate. You're in for a long haul.
Only, if there are issues surrounding mobility, I may be able to source you a scooter.
Oh, no, Russell. Don't have to be getting me presents. Besides, I think I'm a bit old for a Vespa.
No, that's...
Don't you worry yourself, Russell. What have we got ourselves into here, Catherine? The man's impossibly needy.
Russell, would you like to open Tom's presents?
What?
Russell can open them and then we'll hold them up to the webcam.
Oh, OK. Oh, I wonder what this is. It's very bulky.
This is from me. It's a ceiling fan.
Oh, great.
You put it in the ceiling.
Yeah.
It's for indoor use only.
Yes.
He doesn't like it.
Do mind now, Russell. This is from me, Tom.
Right, what have we got here? Oh, it It's a mini trampoline.
Oh, what wonderful presents. A ceiling fan and a trampoline. You know me so well.
We got them in a two-for-one deal at Atkinson's. The man said it was very important not to use them both at the same time.
He's frozen again, Richard. Can you hear us, Thomas?
Yeah, if there's a problem with the signal, the best thing to do is to switch off the camera and carry on voice only.
I can't hear anything.
No, it's completely frozen.
I think that if there's a signal problem, what you can do is switch the camera off and try to continue the call voice only.
Do you know what, Russell? It's so good to hear from someone who knows what he's talking about. If Tom was here, I shudder to think what sort of nonsense he'd have come out with.
There we go, all sorted.
Tom, can you hear us now?
Can you hear us, son?
Are you there, Thomas?
I fear so.
Well, what do we do now? I know. We can play charades.
Excellent. Just what we need to pile misery on misery.
Oh, Richard, it's a lovely game to play at Christmas.
What about Monopoly?
We are not playing Monopoly, Richard. Not when you insist on putting all the train stations and the utilities into public ownership. We're playing charades. Tom will join in.
How can I join in with charades? I can't see anything.
Don't worry, son. I'll talk you through it.
Right, here we go.
It's a film, Tom. One word, one syllable.
Actually, this is working okay.
First word. She's pointing towards her jaws.
Right, I'm going to stick my neck out here. Is it jaws?
Well done, Tom. It's your go.
Russell, why don't you have my go?
Oh, okay. I think I've got something.
Is it a book or a film or...
He's shaking his head, Tom.
Is it a television programme?
Still shaking his head.
Well, what is it then?
It's an opera.
We're going to be here for a while.
Is the title of this opera in English?
Russell's shaking his head, Tom.
Oh, Christ.
Go on, Tom, don't give up so easily.
But it's an opera. I don't know any operas.
Oh, well, Tom, if you've not bothered yourself to engage with one of the most sophisticated art forms music has to offer, then I'm not sure I can help you.
Russell, I think we give up.
Oh, that's typical of you, Tom. No sooner does a setback appear than you throw in the towel. No wonder you took longer to teethe than any of the other kids. Couldn't even put the effort in to wear down your own gums.
Richard!
He's always been a quitter, Russell, for as long as I can remember.
Oh, Richard, not now. Not at Christmas.
I don't know where he gets it from, Russell. He doesn't get it from me. I've never been a quitter. Once I've started doing something, I keep doing it, even when it's obviously going to end in disaster. Even when he was a baby and we brought him home, the first thing he did was start pretending to have a chest infection.
He did have a chest infection!
I'm still not convinced we took the right baby home.
What a thing to say.
Well, the NHS was in a remote state in the late 70s. As long as the number of mothers and the number of babies matched up, they were happy to pitch you out the door. Every now and then they got out with the numbers and they had to give somebody twins to balance the books.
Please try to calm down, Mr. Wigglesworth, and it's not good for you to grip that double issue of the Radio Times so tightly.
It's not easy, Russell, living your whole life with what you're pretty sure is a cuckoo in the nest.
What was that?
It's me! I'm still here!
Tom, you bloody fool, what did you go and do a thing like that for? You've made us all jump. I've spilt eggnog all over the place.
Oh, Richard, it's all over your trousers. And it's flicked onto your granny's new scarf.
It's all right, I've got a spare.
Pass it here. I'll go and put it into soak. Richard, go upstairs and change your trousers.
I need to get to the lavatory anyway. That eggnog's gone through me like a brick through an estate agent's window.
I'm going to see if I can make myself useful. Lend a hand.
All right, Granny. Seems like it's just you and me. Sorry about the argument.
Nonsense, Thomas. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without people in the same family shouting at each other.
Why is it, no matter how old you are, whenever you go home to see your parents, you start behaving like a little kid again? Why is that, Granny?
Well, it might not be you, Thomas. It might be them.
How do you mean?
It's not that hard to see. Don't you think that if they can treat you like a child, it helps them to feel a bit younger too?
I've never looked at it like that.
They're harking back, Thomas. Just another way of resisting the ageing process and the inevitable approach of death.
Yet another cheery thought for Christmas.
Well, when you get to my age, you see all sorts of things more clearly, cataracts notwithstanding. When your mum and dad have a go at you, they're not being mean, they're just being nostalgic.
So what you're saying is that we should forget about posh creams and skincare ointments. If we really want to roll back the years, the easiest way is to have a child and then refuse to accept that they have the capacity to mature in any way.
Get up! Get up!
What's that, Granny?
I don't know.
And I don't expect to be assaulted by a sex maniac in the privacy of my own toilet. Not at Christmas.
Mr. Wrigglesworth, you're making a mistake.
Richard, there must be some misunderstanding.
What's going on?
This is what comes of you not keeping an eye on the petrol gauge, Tom. I'd only just got into the loo when this pervert bursts in and starts trying to remove me trousers.
I was trying to help, but belt buckles can often be a challenge.
Don't try and squirm out of it. We thought we were doing you a favour. Turns out you had your eye on me all along.
Well, yes, I did.
See? He admits it. The shamelessness of the true pervert.
Dad, there's something you ought to know. Russell has been sent by the council.
What?
He's looking out for elderly and vulnerable people at Christmas.
What? So, he's here to see you?
Not exactly. I'm here to check on you, Mr. Wrigglesworth.
Oh, would you look at that? The AA are here.
Tom, did you know this all along?
God bless the AA. What a pleasure to see them in high-vis jackets and Santa hats.
Tom, will you answer my question?
I'm sorry, Dad, I've got to go. I'll see you in a bit. But in the meantime, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Tom Wrigglesworth Hang Up stars Tom Wrigglesworth, Paul Copley, Kate Anthony, Elizabeth Bennett and Chris Pavlo. It was written by Tom Wrigglesworth and James Kettle, with additional material by Miles Jupp. The producer was Richard Morris, and it was a BBC Radio comedy production.